You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The Perseid meteor shower is at its peak right now. If you're the super early morning type, like 3 a.m. early, it can make for a great light show. But researchers at NASA keep an eye on events like this for different reasons, not least the risk they can pose to satellites and spacecraft in Earth's orbit. Bill Cook leads NASA's Meteoroid Environment Office, and he joins me now. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What is the Perseid meteor shower? Where do all of these meteors come from?
Well, in general, meteor showers are caused when the Earth runs into a stream of debris left behind by a comet or an asteroid as it moves in its orbit around the sun. The Perseids are caused by the debris left behind by Comet Swift-Tuttle, which is one of the bigger comets in the solar system. And every year in August, in middle of August, we run into the debris trail. And when that debris hits our atmosphere at 132,000 miles per hour, it burns up and leaves these brilliant streaks of light we call Perseid meteors.
That makes it sound pretty dramatic with the speeds involved. But as you were saying, we're passing through the debris field of the comet. It's not that the comet is moving close past us at this point, right?
That's correct. As comets move around the sun heats them up, and the ice turns to vapor, and that gas carries with it these particles, these debris particles, and they stream out along the orbit of the comet. So the comet orbit has this ring of dust particles, and we run into that ring every year in mid-August. We don't want to be close to the comet. That would be a very bad day. Fortunately, that does not happen.
How many of these comet debris fields are? Because it seems like if you go look for a meteor shower viewing calendar, there's a meteor shower that you could see on a regular basis pretty much every month of the year.
Oh, yeah. If you look at the International Astronomical Union's list of meteor shower, there are hundreds of them.
If there are hundreds of meteor showers that we're passing through every year, how many comets are there total in our solar system?
Oh, I couldn't even begin to venture to guess. We keep discovering new ones every day. So hundreds, thousands of comets, some of which pass near Earth.
Bill Cook, NASA's Meteoroid Environment Office, part of what you're doing is keeping track of potential risks. And as you've said, some comets pass close to Earth. Many of them do not. And it's just these debris fields. Do these meteoroids, these meteor showers, pose any risk to Earth?
Meteor showers don't, certainly, because a Perseid burns up harmlessly above your head about 50 miles up. So you could go outside and watch the Perseids and not worry about being bonked on the head because the atmosphere protects you. If the Perseid screams in at 132,000 miles per hour, it heats up and vaporizes. Out in space, there's no atmosphere. So those particles can strike the surfaces of spacecraft or hit solar arrays or even astronauts on EVAs. That's why we monitor meteor shower activity. So basically, we can tell spacecraft and manned vehicles when to batten down the hatches.
I mean, that's presumably about all you can do to manage this risk. There's no way to avoid this debris field, no way to move the debris out of the way, right? So it's really just a matter of trying to get anything valuable out of their way.
That's right. Think of it just like a storm warning. You can't do anything about the storm, but you can warn people to get out of its way and to stay indoors for safety.
How do the risks posed by a comet's debris field compare to things like other asteroids or other objects, or for that matter, all of the human-caused debris that's floating around in Earth's orbit all of the time?
Well, a lot of people think that meteor showers pose the biggest risk to astronauts and space vehicles because they're visually impressive. You go outside on a typical Perseid peak night and you see like a meteor per minute, and there are these spectacular streaks of light. And people have the impression from those displays and from the movies that meteor showers are this enormous risk to spacecraft. The truth is that the meteor background, on any given night, you can go outside and see anywhere from 5 to 8 meteors per hour, and that's the meteor background. And that's always there. And that poses much more of a risk than the meteor showers do. So if you compare the risk posed by the meteor background, which accounts for 90% of the meteor threat to spacecraft, to orbital debris, the answer is it varies with where your orbit is in Earth. At space station altitudes, where our astronauts reside, the risk is about 50-50. 50% comes from meteoroids, 50% comes from orbital debris. You get higher, say, at sun-synchronous altitude where the Landsats and other unmanned spacecraft are. And at those altitudes, you know, the risk, meteoroids are less than 1% because there's so much space junk at those higher altitudes.
Bill Cook, NASA's Meteoroid Environment Office a few years ago put out an app asking for those who do go out to view the Perseids and other meteor showers to actually use this app to help count meteors and meteoroids. What was it you were hoping to get out of all of that data?
Some idea, better idea of the relative activity. We have meteor cameras situated around the U.S., and there are other camera networks. But it turns out that one of our best sources of information, even after, you know, decades, are still people outside counting meteors because there's so many people. And, you know, you would think a camera would be better, but if I compare the data from one camera to thousands of people, it turns out that the sheer numbers of observers give better data than that single camera. So, you know, it's kind of like crowdsourcing meteor observations.
All right. With all of the serious stuff aside, these are, as you've mentioned, just really beautiful if you can manage to be awake at the right time of night. Can you give us some viewing tips for how to best enjoy the Perseids?
Well, meteor shower observing is the best form of observing there is. It's the easiest. All you have to do is go outside, get comfy, lie flat on your back, and look straight up with your eyes.
I think most of us can manage that.
Yeah. No telescopes, no binoculars. Just go outside, get comfy, lie flat on your back, and look straight up. The two caveats there that most people ask me about is, number one, you've got to give your eyes enough time to adapt to the dark. So, you know, that's 30 to 45 minutes. Don't expect to go outside, stand on your front porch, and expect a Percy to suddenly materialize. That's number one. Number two is avoid looking at your cell phone while you're observing meteors because the light from the cell phone trashes your night vision. And a lot of people will be outside and observing, looking for Perseids at the same time, texting and other things, and the cell phone screen's light just messes your night vision. So those are the basic tips.
Maybe also grab a caffeinated beverage because we're talking about 3 a.m., right?
Oh, yes. Meteor showers are not great respecters of people's sleep. So, yes, you're talking early morning. I am now, you know, getting up in years, and except for a few rare occasions, I tend to sleep in and let my meteor cameras do the observing for me.
Bill Cook leads NASA's Meteoroid Environment Office. Thanks so much for talking with us, and enjoy the Perseids.
Okay.